If the email doesn't get opened, who actually cares what's in your email? I mean, it's totally meaningless.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to At the Forefront. I am Amanda Perucci, head of digital at Forefront, and I'm here today with Jay Schwendelson, founder of SubjectLine.com. And we're here to talk about the latest trends in B2B email marketing. Thanks for joining.
Cool, excited to be here.
Happy to have you. So for everyone's knowledge, Jay and I first met last year at HubSpot's Inbound Conference, where Jay presented on email marketing and event marketing and all of the ways that firms can better reach and engage their audience. And so today we brought you on the podcast because we want to talk specifically about B2B fintechs and how we can better utilize email marketing.
Totally.
And just for the audience context around what we mean when we say email marketing, we're talking about direct emails to your clients and your prospects about your company news, product updates, thought leadership. We're not talking about any automated system outage update emails or sales outreach specific to like renewals or anything like that. So all that being said, a natural first question in the B2B fintech marketing space is around the doubt that we receive from our clients sometimes. So, you know, firms in our space don't always see the value of email marketing and need to be convinced of why they should be doing it. So I wanted to ask you, Jay, what do you see as the biggest benefits to B2B fintech space for using email marketing?
So in this category specifically, it is the most valuable marketing asset company has, their email database. And the reason I say that is, when you want to get out information about a new piece of content, a new product offering, anything, right? How do you get out that information? How can you let everybody know? If you go on social and you post it, at best 15% of your network and your followers will see it regardless of what platform. If you go on search, good luck, you know, getting your SEO optimized. It's impossible. And paid search is crazy expensive and you're still not going to hit your total market, not even close. Right, so show me the channel that whenever you want to communicate to your entire audience, and you want to get in front of your entire audience at relatively no cost, almost $0 it costs, what other channel is there that exists? There is none. Mm-hmm. So email is the best channel. That's why making sure you have an up-to-date email database is everything. And the marketers or the business leaders that think that email doesn't work and that it's not a big deal to them are really the ones that are just not paying attention to all the little moving parts of email that really dictate whether a campaign can be successful or not, because it should be your number one performing marketing channel if you pay attention to all the little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and agreed on the email database too. Like that is just as an important part of the puzzle for that. You got to have the right people.
Always be asking. You at every moment, there needs to be different places on your site, different executions, different things that you're doing to get the contact information, to grow your database. If you're not growing your database daily, it is shrinking.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And so, you know, we've sold them on why it's important, but how do you feel you can make your emails most impactful in a niche space like this?
In general, to get people to engage with your email, especially in the fintech space, the sooner you could tell somebody who they are, the faster they want to engage with your content. What do I mean by that? Oftentimes, in the fintech space, emails will go out that are fairly generic. Check out our new webinar, right? Have you heard about this content piece? Whatever, something super boring. No one's paying attention, mm-hmm. right? But if you tell the person, for example, in the subject line to start with, who they are, they will engage, right? If the subject line said, just for fintech leaders, dot, 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 you're 100% opening up that email. You're like, wow, what is this all about, mm-hmm. right? Or if it said, the fintech community is talking about this. What is it? I got to check that out, right? Or if you get into just job function, it said, this is just for, you know, CFOs. This is just for technology leaders. Whether you put the industry or the job function of who you're marketing to in that subject line, that's what generates the interest. And then you do the same thing in the headline of the email. You do the same thing on the landing page that you take them to. You keep repeating to them who they are, and they'll understand that it's not for everybody. This is for them. And that gets them excited. That gets them to engage.
And that's a good point. Like, even just like, you need to get them interested in opening the email. So like, yes. Subject line is like the first most important part, and speaking directly to who they are will allow them or encourage them to open the email. Then you can like really, you know, make your content more impactful that way.
Well, it's so true because, you know, in my world, a lot of my clients get it backwards. They develop the greatest piece of content, and then they develop the greatest email, the greatest copy with images, legal finally approves it, hooray, whatever, all the links are working. And they go to hit the send button and they're like, well, wait a minute, what's our subject line? What should it be? And they spend 3 seconds on it, where it's all backwards, because if the email doesn't get opened, who actually cares what's in your email? 100%. I mean, it's totally meaningless. And the subject line, depending on what you do in it, it can swing the percentage of people opening up your email by up to almost 50%. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that you can do to generate that engagement.
Yeah. And we at Forefront follow your newsletter. So we are always looking at all of the different data points you put out about, you know, right now putting like a percentage or a number in the subject line does X percent better. So we definitely are in agreement on that point.
Yeah. And I think that if you're thinking about the subject line, what I would tell everybody who's trying to plan their email, the most important part of your subject line is the start of your subject line. Mm-hmm. People don't actually read the whole subject line. We just don't, yeah. Right? We're just busy. We're moving really fast. So literally the first few characters, the first word or two of your subject line is critical. So as you mentioned, if you started your subject line with a number, you know, the 7 thing going on in fintech, the 5 pitfalls to avoid for fintech companies, whatever, it is authoritative. It is interesting. People know they can digest it really fast. So starting with a number will significantly increase your open rate percentage, for example, or even capitalizing the first word where it might just say new, right? Mm-hmm. Or it might just say today, if you're promoting an event that's today. Mm-hmm. Capitalization. And you're like, well, that sounds gimmicky. That sounds like, you know, that's not cool. I don't want to come off whatever. That's not it at all. You're trying to stand out. You know, we're not telling you to put 7 emojis in there with a happy face. We're telling you capitalize the first word, use a number, do things that will get you to stand out, because that is the game. That's how you win.
Yeah. And I remember when we were at HubSpot's Inbound, one of the things you talked about is how often you should be emailing people. And I think it was more specific to events, but generally with frequency, it's a conversation we have with our clients a lot. In your opinion, how many emails are too many emails when you're sending directly to clients and prospects?
So I know that people will be like, oh man, this guy, what's his problem when I say this? But number one, you're not sending out enough. And people will be listening to this and be like, no, this guy doesn't know how much we send. We send out a lot. And the question is not how many times, but what is it that you're sending? If you are sending relevant information, mm-hmm. right? If you're sending relevant information, you could send something out 5 times a day, because people get really excited about whatever it is that you're sending. Your frequency becomes an issue when you're epically boring, right? And all you're doing, let's say you're trying to get somebody to go to register for a webinar that you're pushing. And all you're doing is sending out emails, say, register, register, register. That's horrible, right? That's how you get people upset. That's how you get people to remove. That's how you get people not to engage. Whereas let's say you were doing the webinar and you had 3 speakers, hypothetically. Right. And you get some content from one of those speakers, a 30-second thing about the industry, not promoting the webinar, but they say, give you a 30-second piece of content about what's going on in the industry. And they go, this is what the hot topics are in the industry. And it's really exciting. And oh, by the way, I'm going to go even deeper on this during this webinar. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you send out an email and you put in the subject line, you know, 30-second quick tips from Joe Schmo. Right. All of a sudden, that's relevant content. It's not register, register, register. It's going to get you more registrations than it would anyway.
Right.
So you definitely need to be sending out more than you're comfortable sending out. And people also get confused. They think, and we could talk about this, that getting, if they send out too much, they're going to get unsubscribes and people are removing themselves, and that's bad. I would argue unsubscribes are a great thing, and we're just looking at things the wrong way.
Yeah, I remember you put out a podcast or a newsletter about that, and I shared it with my team, and we're all like, but I completely agree. Like, if they're not engaged, if they're not appropriate for you, why would you want to market to them anyways? You want to be
100%
engaged, qualified prospects.
Yeah, and then building on that, I mean, the reason I also say that unsubscribes are not bad is, number one, you're totally right. If they're not in your wheelhouse anymore, they're not a good fit for you. It's not a, who, why are you communicating? It's not, nobody's getting any benefit out of that. Mm-hmm. But people, the reason people unsubscribe, generally speaking, is for one of two reasons. You know, they wake up in the morning, they are just overloaded. They go, that's it. I got to better organize my life. And then they go to their inbox and they unsubscribe from like 10 different things. It's not just you,
yeah,
right? They're just trying to organize their life. And the other reason they unsubscribe is because, let's say you're listening to this podcast here and you're like, that guy, Jay, talks really fast, but I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to put a number to start the subject line and let's see what happens. We hit send, goes out. Great news. You have a higher number of people opening your emails. Your click-through rates are up. Your registrations are up. But uh-oh, you got more unsubscribes than you've ever gotten from an email before. Mm-hmm. And your internal reaction is, wow, that's really bad. That guy, Jay, was so wrong that we put a number and we got all these unsubscribes. People really hated that number. That couldn't be further from the truth of what happened. Nobody's looking at the number 7 and being like, that's the ugliest number I've ever seen. I got to unsubscribe. Nobody has that emotion. That'd be super weird, yeah, right? What's happening is, for the first time in forever, your email stood out. They saw it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa. And somebody that hasn't opened up one of your emails in forever opened one up. And they're like, you know what? It's not a fit for me anymore. This isn't my thing anymore. And they removed themselves. So the reason you got the unsubscribe was because the person finally saw your email and you stood out. So the unsubscribe is the result of something good that you did, not something bad. And I think that marketers need to kind of wrap their minds around that.
Yeah, completely agreed. And talking about just like different subject lines and how you can get people's attentions, what is the most creative B2B email that either you've done or you've helped a client with or you've seen?
Yeah, I think that some of the things that are working really, really well right now specifically is leveraging the company name of whoever you're marketing to. Right. So let's say the company name is, you know, my company name, Outcome Media. Right. And if I got an email that said Outcome Media needs to know this, or is Outcome Media at risk, or is Outcome Media doing this, dot, dot, dot. Personalization of the company name in the subject line of whoever you're marketing to is doing phenomenally well. Because then you're like, whoa, I got to check this out. I mean, this is my company. What's going on? Mm-hmm. So actually slugging in that company name is a no-brainer in that subject line. Another thing that's working really well right now are brackets in the subject line. So starting your subject line with brackets and putting in whatever the most important thing is inside of those brackets, right? Like a new 2024 content piece or today live webinar. Just two words in that brackets. Carving out, it really does stand out. It works really well. And no, you're not going to go to the junk folder. No, you're not going to go to the spam folder. You don't go to the junk folder, spam folder because of the content, the words and the symbols and the things that you put in your subject line. That was the case 10 years ago. And I think in the fintech space, especially, there's this feeling like, oh, we're in a regulated space. We're going to these very, you know, tight organizations, this, that, whatever. It's just not true. I mean, look, look at Goldman Sachs as an example. 50% of Goldman Sachs emails that they send out have an emoji in their subject line. It's Goldman Sachs. Really boring, stiff company. I love them, but you know, come on. They're not exactly known for being the most wild and crazy. And it's what can you do to stand out? And the most successful marketers on the planet, the irony of the most successful marketers that leverage email, they are the most frequent senders of email and they're ones pushing the envelope the most. I mean, look, for example, we could talk about this if you want. I can never shut up. That's just me. But like, I was thinking about Apple Computer, right? Apple. So on any given day, because you asked earlier about frequency, on any given day, you're going to get about 5 emails from Apple, right? You get one from the App Store, one from Apple Card, one from Apple Fitness, one from Apple TV, one from whatever. And the reason you don't get upset is that it's relevant to you. And they're also testing all sorts of crazy stuff in the subject line. But they're also really leveraging the from name, which I think in the fintech space, only some marketers are doing. And that's something we could talk about because I think that's another area. And Apple does a great job of that because when the emails come to you, it comes from the App Store, Apple Card, Apple Fitness, and you don't get upset. even though you're getting 5 emails in one day. And I think that's some secret sauce type stuff.
Yeah, no, we started to customize our clients' from names after you shared that, you know, to indicate, okay, this is their monthly newsletter. You know what you're getting before you even open it. So that has definitely been impactful for our audience.
Has it gone up? Has performance gone up?
Yeah, definitely. And I think also your example of using brackets instead of emojis, that is really relevant for the institutional B2B space, because most of our clients and people and firms in the space, emojis aren't appropriate for their audience.
Yeah.
Having something like brackets, you know, that's not an emoji, and that's an easy way to stand out. So that's definitely something a lot of B2B firms can start using for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So another question I have for you, I have two more questions around how B2C and B2B consumers engage with emails. Because obviously someone who's subscribed to People Magazine's daily newsletter, the way they engage with that newsletter is a lot different than someone who's subscribed to B2B FinTech's monthly newsletter. Do you have any insights or experience with how that engagement differs?
It is totally different, right? I would say that when we're talking about newsletters specifically, you have to get very comfortable sending that newsletter out twice. It boggles my mind how putting a newsletter together is a big pain in the butt. It just is, right? And what most fintech players do is they send out that newsletter and that's it. And then they go right back to creating another one. And it's really labor intensive. So the most important thing that works the best, which the consumer folks really don't do, but the B2B folks do, which is to send the email to the non-openers. It's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. So let's say you send your newsletter out on Thursday. Great. Here's my newsletter. Go. And then on Sunday, I don't care that it's Sunday and that's B2B. This is what you want to do. On that Sunday, after you send it out on Thursday, you send out the same newsletter, exact same newsletter, to everybody who didn't open the original newsletter, but your subject line cannot be the same subject line. It has to squarely reference the fact that the person did not open the first one, where it says, you know, the subject line says, I think you missed it, right? Or you might have scrolled past this one, right? And so the person's like, what is this? And then they get into it and whatever. And you do that every single time you send out a newsletter, because that is a no-brainer and that's going to work.
That's a great point, because definitely in the B2B fintech space, we will do that when it comes to direct emails for event promotion and, you know, trying to schedule meetings for events. We will send custom emails to the non-openers to try to get their attention, but consider doing it for the newsletter is a really good point. Definitely something to consider.
Yeah, I know that people signed up for it. You know, everyone gets a little nervous, but they literally said, can I have your newsletter? And they missed it. It's not like they got it the first time and said, you know what? I'm no longer interested in this. I'm just going to scroll past it. They didn't see it.
Yeah.
They just didn't see it. Give them a chance.
Good point. Okay. And my last question for you is, what are the 2024 email marketing trends we should be paying attention to?
Well, if I was in the fintech space specifically, I think the thing that I would be looking at from an email sending standpoint is the number of contacts that you are emailing at any given organization. Because a lot of times in this universe, you are heavy loaded up on a small number of companies, right? So you may have in your database 400 people at X, Y, and Z company, right? And you may have a lot of examples of that in your database. Whereas if you were just marketing, you know, to SMBs, you might have one or two contacts in any SMB. But fintech's a whole different thing. And the reason that one of the things I would do as a marketer in this space would be go to my database and do what's called a domain frequency check, which gives you how many contacts at the different domains that we're marketing to, different companies that we're marketing to, do we have in our database? And the reason that you want to look at that is when you hit send, right? If you have, let's say, 400 contacts at one company, especially in the financial services category or technology category, the receiving email infrastructure, that company that's receiving those emails, they don't like, from a technical perspective, they don't like when they get all this traffic from one sender at one time. like, ooh, this must be a bad actor of some kind. Mm-hmm. So what you really want to think about, because deliverability is always changing, is if you are kind of heavy loaded on a small number of companies, or you have a lot of contacts at a given company, you can work with whatever platform you're sending out your email on. It's not hard, where you throttle the number of contacts per domain that are going out within a given hour. All right. And you could set up your delivery. I know that sounds complicated, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And you could throttle it. So it limits the number of contacts going out to a given company within an hour. And your deliverability to those companies is going to go up exponentially. And that's something I think that, you know, marketers are starting, especially in this space, are starting to get more attuned to paying attention to. And that's what I would be looking at. Because otherwise, you're like, why is this company getting back to us? We have so many contacts there. Because literally nobody there is getting it. Period. End of story.
Yeah, and specifically in our space, obviously, like the big banks and all these big firms, like they're heavily regulated and they have a ton of security. So we tend to have difficulty reaching those people because of their spam filters.
Yep.
They're so sensitive. So I think that's a really good test for us to see if that impacts deliverability and opens.
Well, you actually, the easiest way to do it, because if everything I just said was too complicated, here's what you really want to do. Is go ahead, do your domain frequency, all right? And let's say, I'm making this up, you have 100,000 people in your database, whatever you have. Take out every contact, every person where there's more than 25 contacts at that company. Just put them off to the side for one campaign. I don't care if it's 50% of your database. And now you're only going to hit send to people and contacts where you don't have more than 25 contacts, whatever. Hit send, okay? And then look at your open rate and your click-through rate. I will almost guarantee you that it'll be significantly higher, because what's happening is all those companies where you have a zillion contacts, it's actually hurting your overall deliverability for a whole campaign. And then you know what the problem is that you have to solve for.
Right. Amazing. I love that tip. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining, Jay. And thank you to our listeners. If you want to learn more about 4Front's email marketing or general marketing services, you can visit our website at 4FrontComms.com. And make sure to subscribe to Jay's podcast, Do This, Not That, which I personally highly recommend. It's a favorite at 4Front. And I will include all the links to his podcast and events, because he has a ton, and all of his different websites. We'll include those in the description below. So thanks, Jay.